This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Good afternoon, ladies. It's nice to be here with you today, and I do consider it a privilege to talk with you, to share with you about some of the things that God has taught me, and He's still teaching me. Like she said, we live in Brooklyn, New York, and we've been in ministry for 37 years. We have 3 married children and 7.5 grandchildren. The description of this workshop that was in the flyer, I'm not quite sure why I put that in there, but maybe you don't even remember what it was there. Maybe you didn't even read. But there's a saying, behind every great man is a great woman. And I thought, oh, I have a great husband. But then I didn't stop to think about the implications of that statement till a little bit later. So I don't claim to be a great woman, but God has called us to serve Him together. And last summer, after accepting this assignment, God was giving me some tests, and I was finding it very difficult to keep in step with my husband. It seemed like, again and again, I was just kind of at cross purposes, and I thought, I'm not partnering. I can't talk to other ladies about partnering well because I'm not doing well. And so my husband says, well, I said, I think God's given you some real-life illustrations. So I'm still learning. And I think God knew that I needed this topic more than anyone else, probably. And I'm very grateful for a patient, forgiving husband, and a patient, and forgiving God. So I'm not yet that great partner that my husband deserves, but by God's grace, we're all working on that, right? To be what God wants us to be. How many of you are partnering with your husbands as a pastor? He's in a pastoring ministry, and you're in that role, okay? How many of you are helping your husbands in a support ministry of some kind? Okay, and the others, maybe your teachers, your husband is a teacher or administrative role or something, or maybe you have different roles, I'm not sure, but hopefully, most of my experience has been as a pastor's wife, and so that's where my perspective comes from. And so I may not quite understand where all of you are coming from, but hopefully as we look at this topic together, you can find something to connect with. In the first years of our marriage, my husband was in carpentry work with his father. They were framing houses. And I didn't have much clue about his job, didn't really have that much interest in it. So I could have shown more interest and asked more questions, but my mother-in-law was a very good example for me. She loved the work that her husband was doing, and she loved to go exploring the houses that the men were building and see the progress that they were making, and then especially to visit the finished products. So she invited me to accompany her. And so little by little, I learned a little bit more about their work. And she was a good example for me in learning to take an interest in her husband's work and to partner with him and encourage him in what he was doing. So whatever our husband's task is, our job is to come along beside him and encourage him and admire his skill in that area. In your hands, on your handouts, you have at the back page a little survey about, this was particularly put together for pastors' wives, but I adapted a little bit. Hopefully it will, at least some of the questions will fit with your situation. So I'd like for you to take just a minute to go down through there and mark yes or no for those questions. And then at the end, hopefully, we'll have a little time to discuss some of the areas that might interest you the most in that little survey. And just a disclaimer, that number one is a little dated, but I think the principle is the same in finding ways to help our husbands, what are appropriate ways to help our husbands. Okay, this isn't a test, it's just to help us to think about our role, okay? If you haven't quite finished, you can pick up a little bit later, take it with you. We'll be touching a few of those topics. We won't touch on all of them. So let's look at, a great man, a great woman. Jesus said that in Mark 10, that he who would be great among you must be servant of all. And that encouraged me because my way to greatness then can be serving my husband. And that makes our role much more manageable to think about. It's just a serving role, to partner with him so that he can be successful and serve with the strength that God gives him. So we serve together. I serve my husband, and I serve alongside him. All right. What does partnering mean? Partner. Partner isn't the same as helping. Like I can, at church, if I see a young mother who's struggling with her toddlers, I can help her. But that's not a partnership, is it? But it's good to do. Or if my neighbor needs some help with yard work, with flowers, or trimming, or whatever, I can help, but that's not a partnership. According to the dictionary, a partnership means to carry on a business with a view to joint profit, to work with another by mutual cooperation and responsibility to achieve a desired goal or a specified goal. So it's working, associating with someone for a joint profit by mutual cooperation, and you're working toward a goal. So partnering involves more than helping. It's a mutual sharing, working together. There's mutual gain, there's mutual benefit. So a partner cannot be an independent operator. So that means as a wife partnering with her husband, we're not an independent operator. So for the purposes of this workshop, the two that are joined together, a husband and wife, and our task is ultimately for Christ in his kingdom in some way, and the specific task varies according to our husband's work. So we have, we can have business partners, we can have tennis partners if we're into sports. For the young people, you can have a partner in Flying Dutchman, someone that you're working along with, right? But I think a yoke describes the best partnership for husband and wife. We're yoked together, pulling together, working in harmony to accomplish a task that would be difficult or impossible to accomplish alone. So our goal in partnering is joint benefit and fulfillment. It's not just for my husband's benefit or fulfillment, it's also for my own. 1 Peter 3:7 says we are heirs together of the grace of God. So we're two individuals, but we're heirs together of God's grace. To partner means that I acknowledge my husband's position, which has been given to him by God, and I voluntarily take my place under him to accomplish the work that we need to accomplish together. Elizabeth Elliot says that one of the most joyful discoveries in life is that recognizing, affirming, and comforting another person, we find ourselves recognized, affirmed, and comforted. So it's kind of like a circle. When I help my husband to be fulfilled and find his fulfillment, his success in his ministry, that fulfills me. And then if I am fulfilled, it helps him to feel fulfilled and energized. And so we help each other in this energizing circle. So what is our means for reaching that goal of partnering together? Well, it's servanthood. Servanthood empowered by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:4 says, and I'm going to paraphrase this just a little bit, describes how we can live this out. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider your husband better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of your husband. So we've already looked at Mark 10. It says that serving, Jesus said that serving is that path to greatness, and serving is that way that I can partner best with my husband. Again, as Elizabeth Elliot says, the measure of self-giving is the measure of fulfillment. So as I give myself, self-giving to my husband, I find myself fulfilled as well. And the Holy Spirit, God gives us that power. He empowers us to give and to give and to give and to serve and serve and serve again. In that self-giving, we find fulfillment. So, how do we partner well? Let's just look at a few things. We could talk about a lot of things. We could talk about being our husband's best friend. We could talk about how to spend his money wisely. We could talk about blessing him with physical affection. We could talk about making our home a refuge. And those are all part of partnering. But we can't cover all of those. So I've chosen two areas for partnering with our husbands, how to bless him behind the scenes, and then two areas that we can bless him in a public ministry, cooperating in that way, and then how we can bless him in prayer, and then we'll look at a few things to avoid. So, how do we partner well? Isabel Kuhn was a missionary to China in the first half of the 20th century, and she partnered well with her husband, John. God taught her a valuable lesson of holding her treasures on the open palm of her hand, not to be grasping for things for herself. And one of those treasures was her husband, to hold him on the open palm of her hand, releasing her expectations. John traveled extensively, and she was left alone to care for their son and to lead Bible schools, essentially to run their whole mission station where they were located. So we could debate the wisdom of those mission policies, but the point is here that she submitted to the direction of the mission leaders and learned to release her husband for doing what God had called him to do. And that was a lesson that she learned. It wasn't easy for her. So I also need to release my husband for doing what God has called him to do. Releasing him willingly and cheerfully, releasing him from my expectations to always be there for me, and realizing that partnering will not always mean that we do everything together. Or partnering does not mean that we will always do everything together. So, partnering behind the scenes means that I release willingly and cheerfully. This requires sacrifice, and sometimes we do experience loneliness. God used a book some years ago, A Woman by God's Grace by Anna Mary Byler, at a time when I was feeling discouraged in my partnering role with my husband. And she says, I'd rather have 100% man 10% of the time than to have a 10% man 100% of the time. And that encouraged me a lot because I do have a 100% man. But I didn't have him 100% of the time, especially in the earlier years of our ministry. So that helped me that perspective helped me a lot during those years when I did tend to resent the time that he was taking away from his commitments took him away from the family. So from Isabel, I learned I need to release my husband. Let him do what God calls him to do without dragging my feet, without making him feel guilty for not being at home. Another wife who is a good example for us is Priscilla. And it seemed like she learned how to partner well. with her husband, Aquila. Every time we see them mentioned in Scripture, they're always mentioned together, Aquila and Priscilla. And often her name is first, Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila. I'm not sure what that means. She was Aquila's partner in making tents. We don't know how she did that. Maybe she did the fine top stitching, or maybe she added those decorative touches. Maybe she helped with marketing. I don't know. But she helped in the family business and supported her husband in his job. Now, not all of us can do that because of the differences in our husband's responsibilities. She was also his partner in hospitality. Apparently, Paul spent time with them, and Apollos apparently spent extended time with them as well. And when they lived in Ephesus, the church met in their home. Now, if any of you have been involved in missions and church planting, you know that having a church in your home requires some sacrifice, brings a lot of blessing too. Priscilla was also his partner in teaching and discipling, in helping a new believer to understand truth. And that actually goes into the next part of our topic, but we'll just leave that for right now. So our tasks differ depending on our husbands' differing ministries. But the principle I see here is that we wives are privileged to support our husbands in their particular calling. Now, I'm not working with Aquila, so I don't need to make tents. But I need to think about, what does Alan need? What is his working style? How can I adjust my pace to his pace as the leader in our yoke? I need to ask, what is important to him? I don't have to ask what's important to Aquila or what's important to your husband, but what's important to my husband? How can I support him? We're called together, so I am suitable for him if I learn to adjust to him and support him. So I don't need to help him make tents, or I don't need to help him make mission policies, although sometimes I like to have my say in that. I don't need to serve him breakfast in bed or make him fresh muffins every morning. Maybe your husband likes that, but that's not a high priority for my husband. I don't need to choose his clothes for him. I don't need to rearrange his desk, or just dust it sometimes, but not rearrange it, right? I don't need to type up his sermons. I don't need to interrupt him to correct his stories or add my insightful opinions. But what do I need to do to support my husband? Well, I do need to make him shoe fly pie for his birthday. And I do need to listen well. He needs a sounding board. He needs someone to listen, just to talk over his ideas. I need to share my perspective when he needs it, but perspective without pressure. And sharing my perspective includes sharing my own needs, not whining or complaining, but letting him know how I'm doing so that we can partner together. There was one time in our ministry in Central America that I was feeling terribly overwhelmed and burnt out and neglected and not supported because of his obligations with the discipleship ministry. And so I kept kind of stuffing that down. And you know how when we stuff things down, it eventually comes out, usually not in really great ways. So I was really frustrated. And then someone helped me to see that I was trying to protect him from family responsibilities because he had so much responsibility with the discipleship group. He was so busy. So I thought, it's not right for me to put more responsibility on him, more burdens on him. So I just try to struggle along and do the best I can. But then God helped me to see, you know, God made him to carry responsibility. And his responsibility is with the family. And if I'm keeping information from him that he needs to know about the family, then I'm not really helping him. And God will give him grace to shoulder all the responsibilities that are really his, what he's supposed to be. So anyway, I shared. I think I let it stay in too long. It didn't really come out so graciously. But we need to find ways to share our needs, not complaining, but just to be upfront about our needs as well. Okay, so share my perspective so he can support and we can work together. I need to support the decisions that he makes, even if I don't totally agree. I must pull with him in that yoke and not against him. I need to make his priorities my own. Every husband has his own working style, right? And my husband really does put a value on being on time for things, and that's not one of my strong points. But it's a priority that I need to take seriously, try to work in my own life so that I can honor that in him and support him in that way. I need to read and I need to talk about ideas with him. I need to give him my respect and admiration. Many times after a series of meetings or visit to church, he will, or after the service, ladies will come and say, "Oh, I so appreciated your husband's sermon. It just ministered to me. I felt so encouraged." So other ladies are saying that. I need to tell him that as well. I pass on that information to him, but I need to also be giving him my support and admiration and feedback on those times of blessing. So to support him in his ministry. At another time in our ministry, I was having a Bible study with an elderly lady who was just coming back to some of her childhood roots in the scriptures. And it was a very exciting time because she was so excited to study the Word of God again. And I went there one afternoon a week, and my daughters were big enough that they could kind of take care of getting dinner ready in the evening. But inevitably, at the end of our time, Mrs. Celia would have an important question. And so how do I answer this in 2 minutes? Because I need to get out the door and get home because my husband has a commitment. And here I am and I'm not getting home on time. And it just happened time and time again, just when I was ready to leave. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try to bump that up. But it seemed like no matter what time I set as my leaving time, she always had something that she needed to talk about. So it became a little bit of a problem. Because if I wasn't home, we didn't have dinner on time, then it was a lot of pressure for my husband who had another commitment after dinner, and it just created a lot of tension. So I had to do some adjusting. And I found that's one way that I could support him in his ministry is learning how to adjust my schedule so that I don't put extra pressure on him and he can fulfill his commitments. So behind the scenes then, I release him willingly and cheerfully, and I support him in his unique needs and interests. Okay, so how do we partner in a public ministry? One day in the city, I observed something that was very interesting. I observed a young wife partnering with her husband in an unusual way. For me, it was unusual because I would have never thought of doing it, but it seemed to bless her husband. Her husband was working on his truck, a sidewalk mechanic, and he had his tools laid around on the grass there by the sidewalk, and the hood was up, and he was working away inside. His wife was sitting on the ground, cross-legged, just watching him. And they had very little conversation. Every once in a while, he'd glance over at her, and they'd smile, and he'd go on with his work. I think maybe at one time she brought him something to drink. But, you know, she was present, and that seemed to bless him. She was just there. So I consider that kind of first-class support, right? She was just there. She was accompanying him. It was a shared experience. So I have learned, and I think we need to learn, to accompany our husbands. I accompany him. Accompany him in ministry. Now, that wasn't really ministry, but that was his job at that point, and she was encouraging him in that. My husband likes me to accompany him when he has speaking engagements. This encourages him and gives us a shared experience and helps me understand the people and the places that he knows. When I can't go along or I prefer staying at home, he honors me in that. But sometimes I just need a little bit of encouragement to, yes, you can come along. And things will take care of themselves at home. And he knows how to give me that encouragement. Last spring, we had been gone for about 3 months from January to March. And I was just so ready to stay at home. And then he had a speaking engagement for weekend meetings at a church in Pennsylvania. And somehow that had escaped me because I was just looking forward to being at home. So, can I stay home this time? Well, yeah, sure, you can if you want to, but it'd be nice to have you along. So I debated about that for a while, and then I thought, all right, I'll go. And the Lord just refreshed me and blessed me so much that weekend that I just thought, now what would I have missed out on if I hadn't gone along with him? And I think of one of my friends, her husband, about six, seven years ago. And now she doesn't have that opportunity to go with her husband. She did before, but now that opportunity is gone. So I think now is my opportunity to accompany my husband. It might not always be there. So we don't want to miss out on those opportunities to bless him. At this stage of my life, I am blessed. I can accompany him in most of his ministry work. So how much you accompany your husband and how and when depends on your stage in life and your set of circumstances. But go as much as you can. And you can go with the children when the children are small, accompany him when it's appropriate, and get the children involved as much as you can in praying for the people that you're ministering to and finding ways to bless them through cards or gifts, prayers. Okay. Accompanying him in ministry. When we were in Nicaragua, one of my greatest fulfillments, one of the things I really enjoyed was Bible studies with women, whether it was discipling or evangelistic Bible studies. And so it was easy for me to say yes to those opportunities. And we had been living in one community, and a good friend in that community wanted me to go to a different community where her mother and some friends lived and start studying the Bible with them. So I had started that. And then through some shifting around and government things, we were relocated to another part of the city. So to continue that Bible study required quite a commute to the other side of the city in a little minibus and then two other buses and transfer. So it involved a whole afternoon to go there. But I continued for a while, and my husband was behind that. But in the meantime, he and the group of young men that were with him in discipling, they followed a contact from our first community to a new community where that elderly gentleman had moved. And so they began there to visit and meet people, and he'd come home and tell me about the people that they met. Well, it wasn't making sense to me because I didn't know these people. And so we kept kind of having this separate ministry. He would go to one community and I go to another development. And after a while, this somehow just didn't seem right. He would say, you know, I really wish you could come along and meet the wife of this man that we were visiting today. Or I think you need to come and start making friends with the ladies in Barrio Costa Rica. So something had to change. And at first, I resisted out of loyalty to my ladies. But as time went on, I knew we couldn't keep on with that. And then the Lord confirmed that change as there was a shift kind of in the interest of the ladies that I was visiting with. And by the way, neither one of those ladies have ever accepted the Lord, which is still a disappointment. But they really weren't that disappointed when I told them I couldn't continue the Bible study, and then I moved with my husband to the other community. So we need to accompany him in his ministry. Another way of partnering in public ministry is, okay, no, wait just a minute. One other one. Yes, I build. Let me see. I'm sorry. One other one to accompany him in ministry is learning. So for me, this is important. I don't know what it will be for you in your situation. But I used to drag my feet about going to another seminar. But learning is very important to my husband. And he enjoys a partner who discusses ideas with him and listens to all his postulating and analyzing and all that. So we took a lot of courses together. We took Old Testament Survey by Extension. We took a month-long Muslim evangelism training. We took the Perspectives course, numerous seminars and theology classes, and my life has been enriched. I needed his encouragement to get me beyond my comfortable ruts. I haven't joined him in everything. He's studying French, and that's just a little bit too much for me right now. but as I learn, I can contribute more in things that are important to him, in talking over ideas and understanding the things that interest him. And again, it's that circle. When he's fulfilled, I'm fulfilled, and we enrich each other. And another blessing from those learning opportunities is that Alan has helped me to acquire more tools for ministry to women. And that's my next point. As I accompany my husband, I can build relationships with women. I can build. These relationships need to be built with women on our ministry staff, or mission teams, church planning teams, whatever group of people that you're working with. Because this can be a problem area for us women, and the jealousy factor can be a real hindrance. So I think as wives, one way that we can support our husbands in that is to take the initiative to build relationships with women, especially single sisters on our staff, and help them to make a connection, not just with me, but with the whole family, so that it's a friendship thing. We can be friends. If we take the initiative, that helps to preclude some problems that might crop up later. At one point in our church planning team, there was several families, and there was a single lady on the team as well. And with time, I kind of felt, you know, some of those barriers going up. And so if we're not at peace with each other, it certainly doesn't help anybody else, right? It doesn't help my husband at all. And finally, we just said, we have to talk. And so sometimes we shy away from the thing that's going to help us the most. But talking and being up front and praying together surely helps to break down barriers. And we're good friends. And I'm glad for that. Another area of building relationships with women is in our ministry, especially for a pastor in ministry. And I don't know how this applies to the others. But Alan has always encouraged me in accepting my role in carrying out my responsibility with relating with women. He says, in counseling, we women can connect better with the women. So he said, you need to step in there. And if we are available for connecting with ladies, that's a protection for our marriages, as well as the marriages of the ladies that we're ministering to. And it frees my husband to prioritize ministry with men. So he wants me to be available to talk with ladies, and he often affirms me in that. So what's worked best for us is when a lady comes with a need and needs somebody to talk to her, needs some counseling, I try to meet with her, and we go as far as we can. Now, I don't have skills to go really far sometimes, but then when we need more perspective, then we can, both of us can go and get Alan involved in the process or in the discussion. Because we do need a man's perspective, and I need his insight. So that's one way that we partner together and work together. We're also to carry out the Titus II mandate for the younger women to teach, the older women to teach the younger women. And that's an important way of partnering in public ministry. Prayer is the next point there, partnering in prayer. This is really a behind-the-scenes support for our husband, but it's such an essential part that I put it here separately, okay? Praying with him, we are heirs together of the grace of God, and we access that through that grace through prayer. I'm strengthened by his prayers for me, and I have learned that I need to share my needs with him, not pretend that I can do it all by myself. For example, the last number of years we've taught at Bible school, and when we're there, our schedule's different, and we easily got out of our routine of having a morning time to pray together and read the scripture together. It seemed like every minute was spent with other people in classes or meal times or whatever. And then when I began teaching, I realized I really needed that prayer support. So it helped me to feel a part of what he was doing when he shared his prayer needs for the day, for the class, and it certainly gave me support. So praying together helps us to stay in step with each other. A little thing? Yes, it's a little thing. But an important thing? Yes, it's very important. Because it's those little things that can spoil, those little foxes that can spoil the vines. And prayer for him. I have a missionary friend who moved to India. Some of you may know her, Becca Gunty. But she shared in the first years of their ministry in the new culture, she could not go out with her husband to visit or any of the evangelism because it just wasn't culturally appropriate. Her cultural role as a wife was to stay at home and help her mother-in-law. So she was at home. And I can't imagine a more challenging situation. But she decided that she could partner with him by supporting him in prayer. And she spent hours in prayer while he was out visiting and evangelizing. She couldn't go with him, but she could support him in prayer. And that's been a good example for me. Now let's look just briefly at some pitfalls to avoid. What are some of the things that could be traps for us or make our ministry ineffective? The demands of ministry are never ending. Ministry can be all-consuming. So one of the pitfalls we want to avoid is ministry that consumes all our energies. We want to be dedicated. We want to give 100% to our ministries. But you know what I'm talking about, right? There was one time in our ministry in Nicaragua that we weren't doing very much together. He had a group of 20 to 25 disciples, and I was busy overseeing the cooking for a household of 30-plus people, plus taking care of the children, and we didn't do very well at connecting. So what were we going to do? Date nights didn't work so well for us, and they still don't. Well, they do a little bit more now that the children are gone. So what was our solution? He was giving a class on pastoral theology to several young leaders in the church, and so I joined him in that class. So Thursday night or whatever, we get on the cycle, and we drive to the other side of the city and have a class, and that was enriching for me. We were having a shared experience, and then we could talk about the things afterwards. Later on, we worked through a marriage course with other leader couples, and that gave us time together. Now, these are ministry things, but it was a shared experience that was important for us at that time. It built up our marriage and increased my Bible knowledge and equipped me for ministry as well. So we did find some times to get away, even if it was just for a couple hours, to drive down by the lake or something. So we want to guard against ministry that consumes if we're going to partner well. One courageous wife said, "We will not have conversations about ministry after 8 o'clock in the evening." First thing we know, we can spend all our time just talking about ministry and about problems. So she said, no more talking about ministry after 8 o'clock. I don't know what would work for you. That probably wouldn't work for us. And then she, I guess she was really frustrated, and she says, out, out, everybody out. No church people are coming to bed with us. So chased all the church problems out the door. The next one I have here is competition that kills. Satan loves for us to compete and to compare. And we can even begin that competing and comparing with our husband rather than partnering, competing. For example, he fasts more often than I do, so he's more spiritual than I am. Or his ministry is more fruitful. Or he learns Spanish much more rapidly than I do, and he can speak much better than I can. So we begin to compare and start, instead of encouraging each other, just beginning to get into that competition spirit. We can compete with other ministries or other marriages. 2 Corinthians 10 says it's unwise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. Miriam was a woman in ministry, and competition showed up in her life as well. She was perhaps a single woman, but she was called by God to serve with leaders, Aaron and Moses. Micah 6:8 says, "I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." So she had a place, and she had a ministry. But somehow that competitive spirit began to creep in. And there's a mistake there on your, it should be Numbers 12 instead of Exodus 12. It gives account of her and Aaron beginning to complain against Moses. The thing they complained about was his wife, but I think that was just kind of a cover-up, right? It seemed like her heart was full of jealousy and competition. So she had been close to the leaders, and she probably had influence, and seems like she wanted more. She was looking for more. And that brings me to the last pitfall there, mentality that owns. When we're close to leaders, sometimes we can begin to feel that we own the ministry, that we have a right to influence. We have a right to have our opinions taken into account. And then it's easy for me to step out of my place and to insist on being heard, and not just being heard, but being taken into account. We don't own the ministry. We don't own our husbands. We must learn to keep our place. He is the leader in our yoke. Eve was created as a perfect partner for Adam, but as a result of sin, that desire to control, to kind of be in charge, just kind of crept up, didn't it? So, he is the leader in our yoke. I support him. I release him. I accompany him. I build relationships with women, and I can help him become great by serving him well. And in helping him, I find fulfillment as well, and we have mutually benefited and blessed. Okay. We have 5 minutes, which isn't very long. I want to read you a story about Charles and Susie Spurgeon in their partnering relationship. And then whatever time you have left, you can maybe talk with someone around your table about any of those points that you may have had a question about, interest in, on your little survey. Charles was known to be a straightforward, uneducated fellow with a countrified manner, and his speech often brought more embarrassment than reverence. Susie was just the opposite. She was proper and reserved, yet it was her dedicated spiritual life that won Charles's heart. Charles's zeal for God's word and his burden for God's people and Susie's educated, pious, proper Christian life was the combination that God needed to make Charles Spurgeon the outstanding preacher he was. Susie could have demanded more of Charles's time and attention, but because of her deep devotion to her Lord and Savior, she encouraged her husband to be all that God wanted him to be. The same was true in Charles's life. Since he was an uneducated, country-fried preacher, he was blessed by Susie's ability to read Greek and Hebrew. She often assisted him in message preparation. Susie was a good mother to their twin boys. Since her husband was a busy man, much of the teaching and training was left for Susie to do. Charles not only loved his wife and gave her credit for helping his ministry become successful, but he also encouraged her to find fulfillment in becoming all God wanted her to become. David Livingston once asked Charles, "How do you manage to do 2 days' work in a single day?" Charles replied without hesitation, "You forgot. There are two of us, my wife and I. We work together." So may God help us to be that kind of a partner for our husband, to work together for him and both of us finding fulfillment. Thank you. So, and we have 1 minute, which isn't very much, but if you have anything to share with the ladies at your table, you may do that, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you very much.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.